Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Nun Zayin. We are holding on daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph at the top, at the Mishnah on the top of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and L'Zeichah Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom, the Shem Shrav and Aliyah. And we thank Dr. Lander for continuing to sponsor the daf Yomi shiur each and every day. So we are holding at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to discuss the following. Which lashonos of neder can a person take that don't include the chalipin and the gidulin of the neder, that which grows out of the if you plant the thing that you took the neder on and something grows out of it, and which lashonos of neder do include the gidulin, and which lashonos of neder are not only going to include the gidulin but will even include the gidule gidulin. So that's going to be the first issue that the Mishnah deals with. It's somewhat of a long Mishnah. The Mishnah takes up the entirety of Amud Aleph and a little bit of Amud Beis. The Mishnah's also going to talk about when a neder includes the phrase ad ha-pesach, that a person takes a neder from something ad ha-pesach, does it mean that the iser only lasts until Pesach, or that that which is made before Pesach is usher forever, that which you do for me ad ha-pesach, does that mean that it's only going to be whatever you do is only going to be usher ad ha-pesach, or anything that you do up until Pesach is going to be usher to me forever? And the Mishnah is going to go through different formulations where it might mean different things. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about where you make a tanai in your neder, that you're not going to get that whatever you do is going to be usher to me bahana until Pesach if you go to the Beis Avich before Sukkot, or vice versa. So what are the rules in terms of that? Then the Gemara is going to raise really just one shaila, and the shaila is going to take us through not only the rest of the daf today, but for a while. And we're going to bring rayas, and one of the rayas we're ultimately going to bring on daf nun tes in a couple of days from now is going to be from our Mishnah. So the shaila that we deal with that ultimately will lead us back to our Mishnah is whether gidulei heter have the ability to be matir the iser which was planted by being mevatel perov, meaning if you plant an iser, so do the gidulim that grow out of that iser, which are heter, which should be mutter, do they have the ability to be mevatel what you initially planted berov, and therefore be matir that which you initially planted? So in today's daf, we're going to bring two rayas. At the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to begin a third raya to this question, and we'll be working on that shaila for some time. So let's begin at the Mishnah on the top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. So before we even read the Mishnah, just the Ran sort of lays out the klal that the Mishnah is working with, and he tells us that if a person asers on himself a particular min of peros, he says, I'm not going to, I'm taking a neder against te'enim, or I'm taking a neder against anavim. So his iser is limited to an iser achila. If he sells them or he exchanges them for something else, he is allowed to get hana'ah from the money. He's even allowed to eat the fruits that he exchanges them for. If he plants them, says the Ran, and they grow other peros, they grow gidulim, it's mutter begidulam, because even though he asered them bestam, he only intended to aser eating these peros. So if he asered all te'enim, or all anavim, it's mutter b'chilufayim, it's mutter with the money that you sell them for, and the Ran even says it's mutter b'gidulayim. Now that line that he says it's mutter b'gidulayim is very, very difficult to understand. The Taz points out in Simresh Tezayin in Yardei and Sivkat and Gimel, how could it be mutter b'gidulayim if he says I'm not going to eat any te'enim, and then he plants te'enim, what grows out is te'enim. So how could you say it's mutter b'gidulayim? He just asked all te'enim on himself. So that's a little bit difficult to understand. So the Taz writes, probably what the Ran means is a guy said that zesim v'anavim of shanazu alai, that he asked this year's zesim and anavim. Then if he plants them after, he plants this year's zesim or anavim or te'enim after this year is over, and they have gidulim that grow next year, so that's what it means, it's mutter b'gidulayim, that this year's te'enim are asr b'achila forever. But that's if you take a neder against the whole min. You say, I'm not going to eat any anavim, any te'enim, any whatever it may be, any zesim. But if a person is only includes in his neder a particular amount, or a particular, he identifies particular fruits from that min. He says the te'enim are anavim that are right here on the table should be asabana'ah, whereas all other te'enim and anavim are going to be mutter to him. So then the Mishnah is going to teach us that whatever is right here on the table becomes totally asur to him. It becomes like hegdish. Not only do the peros become asur, chilufeyem, giduleyem, it becomes like a total isur of hegdish, that we have the right to assume that when you're asuring an entire min, you're only asuring it ba'achila, and you're only asuring that min, but the chilufeyim and gedulayim and all that stuff is going to be mutter. But when you aser particular peros, we assume that it doesn't apply to the whole min, it's only to those particular peros, and therefore you're all in on the iser of those particular peros. It becomes like hegdish, it's aser ba'adah, the gidulei marasa, the chilufei marasa, everything's going to be aser. That's the klal that our Mishnah is working with. Now here's how the Mishnah phrases it. Konim peros ha'elu alayhi. A person sees peros and he says that it should be like a carbon. These peros that I see right here should be aser to me. The peros that are sitting on the table in front of me should be asr to me. Konim hein al pi, or he says not alai, he says al pi, on me. Konim hein lifi, or a different lashon, which also means on me. So asr, he's not allowed to get hana not only from these peros themselves, but even bechilufeyen ubegiduleyen. That if he sells these peros, the money is going to be asr to him. If he plants these peros, whatever grows from that planting is going to be asr to him, because he's identifying just the peros that are in front of him, and that's that he's all in on that issue. Whenever you ask or stam, only particular peros that you identify, like the case that we just had, and the rest of the min is going to be mutter, we view that like hegdish, that dafka, that which is hukdash is aser, and that which is not hukdash is mutter, and therefore we assume what he meant to say is that he's asering these peros legamri, that they should be treated by him like hegdish. That's how the Rashba explains this halach in the Mishnah, based on the Ran, that the reason for the isra of the Khalif from the Giduleim is since you identified a particular subsection of these peros, the kivan shlo asra al atzmo kol oso hamin ela te'enim shel makom ploni, since you didn't asr the entire min, says the Rashba, you only asr the te'enim of this place, v'heim asuros alav kol sharam makomos mutaros, and their asr, but everything else is mutar, well, that resembles hegdish, harei zeke hegdish, just like by hegdish, you're identifying a small subsection of whatever exists in the world, so too, when you say these peros on this table, so you're identifying a small subsection, and therefore we treat it like hegdish. But if you take another stam, min ateinim, min anavim, you didn't make it like hegdish, you were just trying to say that you're not going to eat that min anymore. Now, it could be what the Rashba means is a little bit different, that since he asers a particular peros, it's mistama, he intends to go all in on that iser, that his purpose in asering the object in a clear and absolute way, without attaching it to the entire min and to the matzav of the pri. So then we have to assume that he's asering everything. But when he asers an entire min, so he doesn't have a problem with that particular object. It's just with eating that min, and therefore there's no reason to assume that the chiluf and gidulim would be aser. Meaning, by identifying a subsection of that min, he's saying, I've got real problems with this subsection of the min, with what is here on the table. So we assume he's being absolute in his neder. Whereas if he just says, I don't want to eat te'enim anymore, I take a neder not to eat te'enim anymore, so then it's only on the eating of the te'enim themselves, not on the chilufim, not on the gidulim. So if he asks on himself, particularly min apparels, but he says, shani ochel v'shani to'em, if now the Mishnah is going to the other case, not where you said whatever's on this table, you say a whole min, shani ochel v'shani to'em. That's the way the Rishonim understand that there's a transition now in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is explaining the flip side now, where you say the whole min, shani ochel v'shani to'em. Even though he says shani ochel v'shani to'em, he's adding something when he says not just konim peros, that konim te'enim, but he says shani ochel v'shani to'em, and we assume shani to'em, what that adds is the Ran explains that the lashon shani to'em means that even if it gives tam into another food, if you put some of these peros into a pot and you have a lot of other ingredients, but it gives tam into the food. So that's also included in the iser, but mutar b'chilufeinu b'gedulehem. But if you exchange these peros for something else, or you plant them and something else grows in their place, so then it's mutar, because when you eat from the chalifim and the gedulim, you're not being toim those peros that you asked on yourself. The peros that you asked on yourself is only the original min. So the Mishnah discusses what about a little bit more about gidule konam, that what this din in the Mishnah we just had, that konam peros ha'elu is asur b'gidulehen, and it sounds, but the implication is gidule gidulim would be mutter even in the first case, even when you only identify the table, the peros in front of you on the table, we said it's asur b'gidulehen, but the implication is okay, it's asur b'gidulehen, but b'gidule gidulin it's going to be mutter. And certainly when you said shani yochav shani toim, when you said the whole min is going to be asur, we said that even the gidulim are going to be mutter. So the Mishnah just qualifies that's only bedavar shazaru kala. That's only if when you plant the pre in the ground, it produces any new fruit, the seed becomes totally disintegrated in the ground. It's kala bekarka. So then that's the way most things are planted. Chitim, sa'orim, any type of zra'im. When you plant the seed in the ground, the seed disappears, and then once the seed disappears and becomes no longer recognizable or edible, and then the new peros are going to come out from it. So since the iser has disappeared before the gidulim showed up, you're not going to taste the tam of the original pre in the gidulim. But if you have something that doesn't disintegrate in the ground, you have garlic or onions, which the assumption that the Gemara always makes is that they stay intact in the ground, so the pre itself remains in the karka while the gidulim are growing, so then not only do we say that these gidulim are going to be asur, because they have some of the pre mixed in, but afilu gidule gidulin asurin. In such a case, even the gidule gidulim are going to be asur. So the initial distinction that we made in our Mishnah, whether between a case where you asur the peros that are on the table in front of you versus asuring the whole min, that whole distinction assumes that it's davar shezaru kala, that it's something that disintegrates in the ground. But if it's something that does not disintegrate in the ground, that when you plant it in the ground, it's still going to remain intact, then not only are the gidulim going to be asur, even the gidule gidulim are going to be asur. And we do not say, the way the Rishonim understand, we do not say that miyot of isur that's still in the ground becomes batal berov of the mutter that grows out from it. Because this is a davar sheyesh lamatirin. Because since the whole isur is only an isur of neder, and in order to get rid of a neder, you could just go to a beis din to be matir the neder. You could be shoal to three people and be shoal by a chacham or by a beis din. So we're not going to apply bittul berov. That any davar sheyesh lamatirin, even if you have a 1,000-to-1 ratio of heter to iser, it's not going to be batel. And nedarim, the Gemara is going to say in a couple of davim from now, nedarim are considered something that's a davar sheyesh lamatirin because you have the ability to be shol. We already saw the famous run on the base about why it is that a davar sheyesh lamatirin does not become batel, because we say bittel involves, the Ran understands that bittel involves a clash of two different characteristics of iser and heter. So the heter can overpower the iser, but it has to be a clash where one overpowers the other. But if both have characteristics of heter, even the iser has characteristics of heter, so then there's no, it's not a full clash. Then the two sort of enhance each other. And therefore, davar sheyesh lamatirin, even though right now it's aser, because you have a neder against it, but since it can become mutter, we assume that it has, its very nature, it has characteristics of heter, and therefore it's not subject to bittel. The Ran likens that to the concept of min b'mino eino batel, that just like when you have two physically different things, you have a bowl of a chalent and a drop of milk, so they're physically different, so the chalent overwhelms the drop of milk and is mevatelit, but if you have a bowl of chalent and a little bit of trefa chalent, I don't know why someone would make a trefa chalent, but if you have a bowl of a little bit of trefa chalent, so the little bit of trefa chalent that goes into the kasher chalent, it all enhances each other, and therefore I feel a be'elef lo batel when dealing with min b'mino. So that's the svara that we saw in the Ran a while back.
But the point over here is that when it's a davar she'in zarukala, then afilu gidule gidulin are going to be aser. Now the Mishnah says, and this same model that we just presented, that when you're very limited in what you aser, only the pears in front of you on the table, then even the chilufim and the gidulin. When you're more expansive and you say all of this, the pears of this min, then it does not include the gidulin. And when it's davar she'in zarukala, then it includes the gidulin and the gidulin. So the Mishnah says there's a parallel track that when it comes to taking the darim against your wife, where we're going to have all those same three categories. So the Mishnah says as follows: Homer l'ishto, guy says to his wife, Konem maisa yadecha. He makes a neder against her maisa yadayim, whatever bread she bakes, whatever wool she spins, whatever flour she grinds, whatever food she cooks, all of those things are going to be asr alai. Or he say he asrs them on himself. Or konem hein alpi. Konamein lifi. So in all those lashonos, it's aser b'chilufein and b'gidilein. It's aser for him to get hana'a not only from the actual maisi adayim that she produces, but even the chilufei maisi adayim, even that which they've been exchanged for. Meaning, let's say she produced something and then sold it and got money for it, he wouldn't be allowed to even get hana'a from the money. Or b'gidilein, if she planted a tree, the gidulim of the ilan of that tree that she planted would be aser to him. That's how the Mefarish understands, quoted by the Beis Yosef and the Prisha, that when we say bichilufayin, it means that if someone gave her peros for schar maisi yodeha, for whatever work that she did, someone gave her peros, those peros are called chilufayin, and that's going to be aser as well. However, not the entire the entirety of it. I mean, if let's say she did maisi yadayim, so she ground up some wheat and she made flour, and someone gave her a basket of apples for the flour that she made. So is the entire basket of apples considered chilufayin? Is it all aser? So the way the Rishonim say is, no, not all of it, only what's connected to tchina or the afia, which are the maisi yadayim. But the raw material, that wasn't her maisi yadayim. So the value of the raw material within the basket of apples she just received, that's going to be mutter, because the maisi yadayim is only that which she produced. That's what the Ran quotes and the Rashi in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. So it sounds like he can give her the money that's connected the maisi yadayim, and that's not considered that he's nanim maisi yadayim. Meaning by just paying her the money that's maisi yadayim, that's connected the maisi yadayim, he can enjoy the rest of it, and that's then it wouldn't be a problem. However, the Ritva writes that Yolich Ma'os Elu Liyam, so that he doesn't get any hana'ah from it. So apparently, there's some discussion as to whether that's true or not. That math equation that we just did is actually going to be true. So anyway, so that's category number one. The reason that it's Aser, even b'chilufei b'gidulein, is because this guy did not aser all ma'isi yadei adam on him. It's dafka ma'isi yadei ishto that he identified as this. It's only what's right in front of him, right here, the ma'isi yadei ishto, or dafka part of what's right in front of him. So we assume that his kavana was to aser it entirely. Just like we said, when you're only asering the peros that are on the table in front of you, we assume you're all in on that iser. But then the Mishnah says that the reason the Mishnah repeats this is to tell us that not only when you say konam peiros ha'elu does it become aser like hagdish, but even when you aser peirosav shel ploni, or over here maisa yadeha shel ishti, that's like saying peiros ha'elu. That the Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush, that it's not only when you have peiros in front of you on a table that you're including only those peiros, but you're all in on that iser. But even when you identify the maisa yadayim of your wife, the chilufim v'gidulim of that are going to be usher as well. The Rishonim, the Ran, and others are bothered by the Kasha, but Maisi Yadayim is a Davar Shein Behem Mamish, because there is no object here. It's only that which her Yadayim will produce. So the Ran writes that you have to say Konim Yadecha L'Ma'aseihem, that you're taking the Neder on her Yadayim insofar as whatever they produce is going to be usher to you. So that way you make it a Davar Sheish B'Mamish, because her Yadayim are a Davar Sheish B'Mamish. Or the Ran says that since whatever she makes is yesh bo mamish, so it's considered that it's a davar sheyesh bo mamish, because even though right now it's not here, but whatever she's going to produce is a davar sheyesh bo mamish. But says the Mishnah, if you say shani yochel shani toim, a guy says hermaisi yadayim that he won't eat or that he won't taste, so mutar b'chilu fenim ubigdilein. So if peros are given to her in exchange for her maisi yadayim, you're allowed to eat those peros. And if she plants something in the karka and it grows, it's mutter to eat that, because he only asked her maisi yadayim, the yachila or the ti'ima from the maisi yadayim. You didn't ask for the maisi yadayim entirely. So the Mishnah is teaching us that even though initially he started using a lashon of her maisi yadayim being asr, which would have been all inclusive, would have included the chiluf megidulim, but since he further qualified it by saying shani ochel shani toim, so that's a limiting clause. He's saying that yes, I'm asring her maisi yadayim, but only insofar as achilan ti'ima is concerned. And then once he limits it in that way by saying only shani ochel shani toim, now the chiluf and the gidulim are going to be mutter. But all of this is only bedavar shezaru kala. We make the same qualification that we made in the reisha. It's only if it's something that zaru kala, that when you plant in the ground, it disintegrates. Avol davar shein zaru kala, afilu gidula gidula nasurin. But anything that's not zaru kala, anything that does not disintegrate in the ground, then even the gidula gidulim are going to be aser, because the iser is mu'urav in that which grows, and the iser is not going to become batel. Now there is an interesting discussion in the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva about the following case. There was he has a tshuva named Nezachel Beisim Kufay and Dalin about a guy who had three barrels of schnapps. And his brother was an absolute drunk. He would always come and get drunk. So after a lot of times of him telling his brother stop it, and he keeps on getting drunk in public and making a fool of himself. So he took a neder barabim that these chavios of yain saruf should be usher to his brother. And he took the neder al das rabim in a way that he's not able to be matir the neder. I mean, he really didn't want his brother drinking. So he made a neder al das rabim in a way that you can't be matir such neder. Then some while later he sold those barrels and he received in a place dried fruit. And then there was some sort of major fire in the city, and all the peros got very toasted. They got very, they weren't nearly as good, and he wasn't able to sell them. It wasn't easy for him to sell these dried fruit. And now the brother, the drunk brother, needs an adunya to marry off his daughter. And he wants to give as a matana those dried fruit that his brother can't get rid of anyway, as the adunya for his daughter. So he asked the Chasam Sofer if there's a chashash iser, because those peros are the chilufei yayin saruf. They're the chilufim of the schnapps that he has a neder that's also ba'anah to him. So the Chasam Sofer has told of this in our sugya, because we're going to see in our sugya that Rami Barcham raises a suffek if it's mutter to be for a noder to be nena from the chilufim of the neder, and that suffek is not nifshat. We don't answer that suffek, so maybe we should be machmir like any other suffek to our right. But there are shitas and rishonim that explain the suffix differently, and it could be that based on how you explain the suffix, it's going to be telling whether the brother is asr as well. The Ran explains that the suffix is only if someone asrs his peros on other people, and the suffix is, does he mean to say that dafka these peros are asr, or is it any hana'ah from the peros, and the khalifa adavar are also considered hana'ah, so therefore would ask the khalifa on the brother as well. And that's and the Rush says that the suffix is whether the Rabbanan were goes there not to be nana from the Khalif in order not to be nana from the object itself, so therefore the brother would also be asr, because he might get hana from the object itself. And the Rambam understands the suffix is whether there's koach in the neder, which is like hegdish, to asr the Khalifin, because hegdish does not asr Khalifin unless you have pidyon, and the isr goes from one item to the next through pidyon. So since we're not poshet that suffix, it's asr to be nana from the Khalifin, because maybe the Isser does travel to the other. But according to the Shita of the Rashba, that the Suffolk is whether we make a Knas against him, whether meaning if he was Madir himself from Peros, and then he went and he sold them, and now he wants to be Nana from the Khalifin, so the Gemara is Mesupak, whether we Kones him, and we ask the Khalifin. So over here, where he didn't violate any Isser, because because the brother who took the neder was allowed to sell them. He didn't violate any yisur by selling them. It was only the brother that was mudar that's not allowed to do things, and he didn't do anything. So maybe there's that's not shayach knas. So that's how the Chasam Sofer parses out the whole suffix of whether we're going to ask for the chilufim depends on how you understand the suffix of the Gemara, whether we're going to ask for the chilufim, whether it applies in this case. But then the halacha, he says, that we have to allow this. We have to allow him to use this these peros as an adunya. He says, first of all, it's clearly, it was obvious what his intention was in taking this neder. His brother was getting drunk all the time. He was an alcoholic. He wanted him to stop getting drunk. So he's allowed to get hana'a from in a way that he's not going to get drunk. And over here, you know, using the peros as an adunya is not going to get him drunk. So for sure, it was never included in the neder. And second of all, he says, since it's a dvar mitzvah, vachnasas kala, it could be that we could be matir the neder. It's only for dvar rishus that we're not matir neder that's done al das rabim. But for dvar mitzvah, maybe we will be matir neder al das rabim. And 30 says, since these peros are going not to the guy himself, they're going for the nedunya of the daughter, so you could give mizonos to banav benos of a ketanim of a mudra hana'a, that the father's not allowed to get hana'a, even though he has a chiyuv to be mefarnis them. So for sure, to marry off the adult daughters over here, it's not even benos of a ketanim, where he has no chiyuv medina to give a nedunya, so of course that's not considered a violation of the Yisra'na. Okay, now the next part of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses a situation where we're not sure what the guy meant when he said a particular phrase. He says, Sha'ato, so he says to his wife, I'm taking a neder on any maisi yadayim that you produce, eini ochel ad ha-pesach, that I'm not going to eat it ad ha-pesach. So what's that ad ha-pesach going on? Sha'at osa enu miskasa, whatever clothing you produce, I'm not going to use ad ha-pesach. So asa l'fnei ha-pesach, if she made these items before Pesach, mutalechel l'skasos achar Pesach, he can benefit from them after Pesach, meaning we assume ad ha-pesach means that's the range of my neder, that my neder is only going to be aser, is only going to be binding up until Pesach, but once Pesach is over, all the stuff you're producing before Pesach will become mutter. You could have said that he meant is li'olam, and ala Pesach is whatever you produce ala Pesach will be aser to me forever, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that we assume what he meant is that the iser is going to end at Pesach. Not only on not that the Isser is forever on whatever she produces ala Pesach. And the same is true in the opposite. The guy says to his wife, Sha'at osa ada Pesach ein yochel. He says, whatever you make ala Pesach, I'm not going to eat. Sha'at osa ala Pesach ein miskasa. Whatever clothing you make ala Pesach, I'm not going to wear. So asa lefnei Pesach asur lechol miskasos achar Pesach. So then, if he formulated it that way, that whatever you make before Pesach, I'm not going to eat or I'm not going to wear, so then anything that she makes before Pesach, he's never allowed to eat, he's never allowed to wear. We assume that goes forever. Now, the Mishnah brings a din of a neder that's on tonight. Now, a third part of our Mishnah. So again, the first part of the Mishnah was just to identify, when do we say that it's that the Isser that you're taking on certain, that you made on certain payros is an Isser on the Gidulim and the Chilufim and everything. When do we say, no, it's only on the Achila? Second part of the Mishnah is, how do we understand ala Pesach? The clause ala Pesach doesn't mean that the Isser only goes ala Pesach, or that anything that's made out of Pesach is miyasa forever. And then the third part of the Mishnah is where you attach a tanai. You say shat nenesli ala Pesach im holechas at lebeis avich ad achag, that it's Purim time, and you say you're not allowed to get any anah from me until Pesach if you go to your father's house sometime before Sukkot. So halcha lefnei Pesach, if she didn't wait very long and she right away went to her father's house before Pesach, so now you know that the neder kicks in. So asura banaso ad haPesach, she's not allowed to get anah from him until Pesach because she was not careful about that tonight. So as soon as she violated that tonight, the iser kicked in. But as soon as Pesach is over, then the neder is over because the only said, you're not allowed to get enough from me until Pesach if you go to your father's house sometime before Sukkot. So if she even went before Pesach, she went like right away, so of course the neder is going to be chal. No great chiddush there. But if she doesn't go to her father's house before Pesach and she got hana'a from her husband because she hasn't yet gone, and then li'achar Pesach, then after Pesach she goes to her father's house sometime in the summer, she says, you know what, I just need to visit my mom and dad, and she decides she's going to go, but she already got hana'a from him before Pesach, then bibal yachal, then l'mafreya, turns out out that it was a violation of the neder, because the neder was, you're not, he was standing there on Purim, let's say, and he was telling you, you're not allowed to get anah from me until Pesach if you go to your father's house before Sukkot. So she got anah from him before Pesach. She had not yet gone to her father's house, but then before Sukkot she went. So it turns out, Mafreya, it's a violation of Bal Yachal, very mistaver. Then the Mishnah says, and what if it were the opposite? It was Chodesh Adar, again, Purim time, and he says, Shat Nenesli Adachag, that you should not be allowed to get anah from me until Sukkot, Imolach Sadle Besavich Adah Pesach. If you go to your father's house within the next month before Pesach, so where the Isser is longer than the Zman of the Tanai. So we're flipping it. In the previous case, the Zman of Isser was shorter than the Zman of Tanai. The Isser was only for a month, but the Tanai was going to be for the next 7 months. Over here, it's the opposite, that the Isser is longer than the Zman HaTanai. So Halcha Lefnei HaPesach, if she goes to the father's house before Pesach, so Asur Banasa L'Chag. Okay, so that the Neder is Chal, and she's not allowed to get any Anah from him until Sukkot, because she wasn't careful about the Tanai. And even though she's not allowed to get any Anah from him until Chag, Muteres Leilich Achar Pesach, she's still allowed to go to her father's house after Pesach. We don't say that we're going to make a gzeit, meaning lechora. Of course, she's allowed to go after Pesach. The deal was shat nenesli adachag imaleches lebeis avich ad haPesach. The whole nether was only if you go ad haPesach. There was never any restriction on her going after Pesach. Why would that be a problem at all? So of course, mitaris lechachar Pesach. So the Rishonim discuss what in the world is the chiddush over here. So the Ran back on Tesvav and Beis explains that the chiddush over here is that you don't say we're going to make a gzeirah. She shouldn't go to the Beis Aviyah, so that she shouldn't forget that she's not allowed to get Hanah from her husband. No, we don't make any such gezeros from one case to the other. Tosa says, nah, there's no Chiddush. It's just Agav that the Reisha mentioned that if she went Achar HaPesach, she violates Bal Yochel and Mafreya. So over here we mentioned that in this case, she's allowed to go Achar HaPesach, even though there's absolutely no Chiddush in this line of the Mishnah. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Homer l'shokonam ha'isi yodayich alai, konam ein alpi, konam ein lifi. We said in the Mishnah that the case where it's asr b'chulufeinu b'gedalein is you have peros in front of you on the table and you say, these peros are included in my neder, I'm making a neder on these peros, not all te'enim, not all enough, these peros. So we said, so then we assume that it's asr b'chulufeinu b'gedalein, everything, you're all in on the isser of those peros. So the Gemara raises the following safek, and we're going to come back to our Mishnah in a couple of days to figure out how our Mishnah might be poshet the Safek. Yishmal ish kfar yama. Yishmal, who lived in a village that was right by the seashore, va'armila ish kfar dima. It's a question how to read that word. Is it ish kfar dima or ish kfar di yama? Meaning, which would mean, if it's di yama, then it's really the same thing. It's not that all that different from ish kfar yama. But whoever this person was, hella biyado, he had the following shayla that he brought in his hand. So what does it mean? He brought the shayla in his hand. So the Rishonim write, the Ran writes, it means that he it was in his mouth. Sometimes we use the word yad to describe that which is in his mouth. And the Ran quotes from the Navi Yeshayu Paragvav, ubiyado ritzpa. So the targum on the pasuk is ubipume mimalel, that there was words of nevua bipume in his mouth, even though the Navi used the word biyado. Okay, technicality. So el biyado, he had the following shayla. Betzel sha'akaru b'shviz. If you have an onion that you took out of the ground during Shemitah, and by Yerakos we assume that the Yisr Shviz is b'shas l'kitasam, that it goes based on when it was picked from the ground. It's not b'shas yinika or any of that. It's b'shas l'kitasam. It's when you pick it from the ground. So this is a bona fide onion of Shemitah with all of the Shemitah restrictions. And then during the eighth year, unato b'shminis, you plant it in the ground to grow more onions during the eighth year. So and we already said that a betzel is one of the things that it's a zaro kala, that when you plant it in the ground, it's shein zaro kala, that it stays intact, that it doesn't disintegrate in the ground. So what happens? You plant this onion in the ground; it's still there in the ground as new stuff is growing. So it's a shemitah onion. You plant it in the year after shemitah. V'rabu gidula valikaro, and there are more gidulim that come from the betzel than the betzel originally was. than the size of the Betzel that was originally planted. So it's enough to be Mevatel, the Iker Kedusha Shviyas. So what is the din? Do we assume that there still is Kedusha Shviyas on that onion that's in the ground, and maybe on the Gidulim as well, or not? So Vachi Kami Bayalei. And the Shaila really is, Gidul of Heter, the Ikaro Aser. If the Gidulim that are Heter, and the Iker that is planted in the ground is Aser, do we say, Kivan to Rabu Gidul of Meikaro, Osim Gidulim Heter, Malinasi Iser, that since there's more Gidulim than there is the Iker, they're Mevatel the Iser, like any other Tarovas of Iser Vaheter, where the Miut is going to be Batal Barov, Alo, or do we assume that it does not have the ability to be Mevatel the Iker Iser, because they're Yotzim Imenu, they're Nimshach Acharav, and Adrabah, maybe the Gidulim themselves are Aser. So the way the Ran understands is that the Suffolk is not only whether the onion that's still in the ground is Aser, and the suffix is whether the gidulim are nimshach after that onion that's still in the ground, and they also become aser. Not all Rishonim understand that way. Most of the other Rishonim understand that the shaila is the gidulim are for sure heter, like the Gemara seems to be saying. It's gidule heter. The suffix of Yishmael ish kfar yama or ish kfar dima is whether their mevatel, the ikr that's still in the ground, meaning the onion that was planted in the ground, does that now become mutter because it's mevatel? The Rush explains within that approach that the subject is maybe it shouldn't become batel because the gedulim and the ikar are not really betaroves, they're not misarev legamri. The ikar is in the ground, the gedulim are above the ground, so maybe they don't apply bittel in such a case. The Rashba and Tosfos understand that the suffix is whether the chachamim were machmir that the ikar shouldn't become batel because it's a dover chashuv. Look what it's doing, it's producing all these peros, so maybe it's a dover chashuv and doesn't become batel. So again, the Ran understands that the shayla is even about the gedulim. Most other Rishonim say no, the shayla is only about the onion in the ground, whether that now becomes mutter because it becomes batel. So it says Gemara, two rayas for today we'll see. So Asal Kamed Rabbi Ami, they came to Rabbi Ami with the Shaila, Lo Hava Biyadeh. He didn't have an immediate answer. So Asal Kamed Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, so they went to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, so Pashal Dei Minado, so he said, I have an answer. Dam Rabbi Chanina Trisa Am Rabbi Yanai, Betzel Shal Truma. If you have an onion that is Truma, where it's got to be eaten only by Kohanim and only by Tahara, so Shinata'o, and then you plant it in the ground, and more onions grow, and more than what was planted grows mutter. So that onion that you planted in the ground is mutter for a non-Kohen to eat, because the shame truma is batel from it. So you see that the gidulim are not nimshach after the ikar. Adrabah, the gidulim are mevatel the ikar. So the same should the chor be true about the shemitah onion that's planted in the ground, that the gidulim should be mevatel the shemitah onion. So I'm going to read me well, you bring me a raya because that's the shita of Rabbi Chanina Trisa. Don't you know that there are two Gedolei Amorayim that disagree with him? So how are you going to bring a raya from his shita when you know full well that there are two Gedolei Amorayim that disagree with him? Maninu train. Who are the two Amorayim that disagree with Rabbi Yanai? So one is Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Avoham Rabbi Yochanan. Yalda. If you have a young tree which is still subject to Orla, shesibcha b'zakeina, that you're markiv on an old tree that's not subject to Orla, uba peros, and there are peros that come from the young tree, so if the ikra din is after the arkava, the netiyah becomes batel to the zakeina, so any peros that grow on it, henceforth, are going to be mutter, they're not going to be Orla. But the peros that were there before the arkava, even though they continue to grow now, and now beheter, they remain in their original isser, they remain usser, Aval Bisho Sifa Masayim, even though they grew more than 200 times their original size, meaning at the time they are covered, this Arla branch had teeny tiny peros. And then you're markiv it, and it grows more than 200 times the size, which is the shear of bittel for Arla. Usher, you're not allowed to get enough from those peros. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Yanai. He holds that the gidulei heter are not mevatel the original iser. And there's another amar. Rav Amram Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Betzel shenital b'kerem. If you take a betzel shenital b'kerem, you take an onion, you plant it in a vineyard, kilei akerem, v'nekar akerem, and then you uproot the vines. Usher. That remains usher, even though it continues to grow. All the gedulim that come out of it, we don't say all the gedulei heter after you uprooted the kerem are mevatalit. And then raya number, so that's why raya number one is not a raya. Raya number two, hadra asal kamed Rabbi Ami upashul emin adot. Rabbi Ami was poshit the shayla from the following. Dam Rabbi Yitzchok Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Litra bitzalim shetikna. Let's say you were mafresh shumas amaisros from a certain amount of onions. Uzra'a. And then you planted them in the field. And it grew a lot more. So all the new stuff is going to be chayiv in Shumas HaMaisos. Misaseres lefi kula. You have to take Shumas HaMaisos for not only klape the gidulim, but klape the ikar as well. So you see that the gidulim are not nimshach after the ikar to become potter from meiser. So you see, osim gidulim mevatlin ikar. That the gidulim are mevatl the ikar, because the gidulim are chayiv in Shumas HaMaisos. The ikar was not. Now we're saying the gidulim and the ikar are chayiv in Shumas HaMaisos, because there's more gidulim than there was ikar. So over here also, when you have this onion of Shemitah that was planted in the ground in the eighth year, and now there's so much produce of the eighth year, it should be able to be mevatel. The produce of the eighth year should be mevatel that original onion of Shemitah. Says Gemara, this is not a good raya, because Dilma L'chum Rashayni. Over here we're saying that the gidulim are the iser, the gidulim are the tevel, that's what's chayiv in Shumas HaMaisos. So to say that the gidulim are going to be mevatel the iker in order to be machmir, to be mevatel Shumas HaMaisos, yeah, we'll say that, but are we necessarily going to say that gidulim are going to be mevatel the ikar in order to be mekil, that the isser is going to go away? So that we don't have a raya from. So Bezeshem, we'll pick up with the third raya tomorrow. Elamin hada. Have a great day, everybody.